Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving into a marketing classic, Gary Vaynerchuk's jab, 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 right hook. We're going to figure out just how to use social media to really boost your business. Now, this book came out back in 2013. A lot has changed in the social media world since then, hasn't it?
It really has, but what's amazing is that the core ideas Vaynerchuk lays out are even more important today. It's like he was ahead of his time, you know?
Totally. So he uses this boxing analogy, jabs and right hooks, to kind of explain how to connect with people online.
Exactly. You can't just go in for the hard sell all the time, you know, like trying to close a deal before you've even said hello.
Right. It's all about building that relationship first.
Yeah, you got to build that, you know, like, and trust factor. So those constant buy now messages, those are like right hooks. They might work sometimes, but most of the time people are just going to tune them out. What Vaynerchuk's saying is you got to focus on those jabs first.
So what exactly is a jab in the world of social media?
Okay, think of it as any piece of content that gives your audience something valuable, but without directly asking for anything in return.
Okay, so it's got to be good stuff. What kind of stuff are we talking about here?
It could be anything, really. A funny video, an interesting article, you know, maybe a behind-the-scenes look at how your business works.
I get it. So basically, instead of always shouting, buy my product, you're giving people something that makes them think, hey, this brand gets me.
Exactly. And that's what makes people start to trust you. And that's when they'll actually be ready to listen when you do go in for that right hook.
This makes total sense. But there are so many social media platforms out there. Where do you even begin? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. It's a lot.
And they all have their own unique vibe, right? That's where the idea of native storytelling comes in. It's a big part of what Vaynerchuk talks about. Basically, you have to tailor your content to fit each platform. What works on Facebook might totally flop on Twitter.
Ah, so you can't just post the same thing everywhere.
Nope. Each platform has its own language, and you gotta speak it if you wanna be heard. Like, he uses this example of Air Canada, you know? They were trying to do this nice thing, honor their first flight attendant who had passed away.
Aw, that's sweet of them.
It was, but instead of telling her story with a picture or a video, which would have been perfect for Facebook, they just posted a wall of text. No one wants to read all that, especially on Facebook.
Yeah, you just scroll right past that.
Exactly. And then he compares that to a Victoria's Secret post about their angel card. They kept it short and sweet, you know? A catchy caption, great image, and a clear call to action.
So they made it super easy for people to understand and actually do something.
Exactly. It felt natural on Facebook. Like, it belonged there.
Got it. So speaking the language of the platform, he also talks about Mini Cooper using, like, really evocative language in their Facebook posts to draw people in.
Right. They don't just say their car is fun to drive. They make you feel it with their words and the pictures they use. And it makes you want to click that link to learn more.
Totally. But this is making me think it's not just about the big brands, right? Can smaller businesses use these same tactics?
Absolutely. Vaynerchuk talks about this awesome little place, Cone Palace. They were killing it on Facebook by posting these amazing photos of their food and writing captions that made you drool.
Oh, man, that's smart. It makes me want to try their food right now.
See? It works. But here's the thing. People are bombarded with content online all the time.
Yeah, right? It's overwhelming sometimes.
Well, totally. So how do you even cut through all that noise and make people actually pay attention to your stuff? Vaynerchuk says you need to tap into one of three things that people crave: social connection, entertainment, or utility. If your content doesn't hit one of those, it's going to get lost in the shuffle.
Makes sense. So it's not enough to just post something. It has to actually offer something people want.
Right. It's got to resonate with them on a deeper level.
So how can you make sure your content's actually doing that?
Let's say you're a cosmetics company. You could offer makeup tutorials. That's utility. Or you could showcase trending music in your videos. That's entertainment. Or even join conversations about, like, body positivity that's tapping into social connection.
Ah, I see. So you're meeting your audience where they are.
Exactly. Now, this is where micro-content comes in. You got to think about how people are consuming information these days. They're scrolling through their feeds super fast, probably multitasking like crazy.
You're telling me my attention span is like 3 seconds long these days.
Uh-huh, right. That's why you need to make each piece of content a little story that can stand on its own. It's got to be short, sweet, visually engaging, and grab their attention right away.
Like Oreo's dunk in the dark tweet during the Super Bowl blackout.
Yes. Perfect example. They saw an opportunity, created a message that fit their brand, and put it out there while it was still hot. It went viral instantly.
That's awesome. So you're saying brands need to be ready to jump on those opportunities.
Absolutely. It's about understanding your audience and hitting that sweet spot. But listen, creating great content is only half the battle. You also got to know how to manage your community effectively. You can't just throw content into the void and hope for the best.
So it's not just about posting, it's about engaging too.
You got it.
Yeah.
Social media is a two-way street. You need to be listening to what people are saying, responding to comments, answering questions. You got to show that there's a real person behind your brand, not just some robot.
It's all about building relationships. Okay, so now that we've got the basics down, I'm ready to get into the nitty-gritty. Let's start with Facebook. Is it still even relevant for businesses today? I mean, with all the new platforms popping up?
It totally is. Facebook still has a huge user base and amazing tools for targeting your ideal customer. But here's the catch. You got to understand how their algorithm works. If you don't, your content's going to get buried.
Right. The algorithm. It's like this mysterious force that controls what people see.
It kind of is. But we can break it down. Basically, Facebook wants to show people the stuff they're most likely to engage with. So the more people like, share, and comment on your posts, the more Facebook will show it to others.
So engagement is key.
Big time. And that's where over-indexing comes in. Remember we talked about that?
Yeah, vaguely. What does that actually mean for businesses?
Okay, think of it this way. Over-indexing means your content is performing better than average, like way better. And that makes Facebook take notice.
So you're basically training the algorithm to see you as a rock star.
You got it. And the best way to do that is to be consistent. The more good stuff you put out there, the more Facebook will see you as someone worth paying attention to.
So you got to stay top of mind. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
100%. Now, to boost that engagement even more, you can use Facebook's targeting features.
So you can make sure your content is actually reaching the right people.
Exactly. Instead of sending the same message to everyone, you can create different versions for different groups of people based on their interests and demographics.
So if I'm selling boots, I can target different messages to people who like hiking versus people who are more into fashion.
Smart. You're getting it. You can speak directly to their needs and wants. And Vaynerchuk talks about this other cool trick, leveraging pop culture moments.
Like how?
Okay, remember when 30 Rock went off the air? Imagine that same boot company posts something simple like, "So long, 30 Rock. Thanks for the laughs." It's not directly selling anything, but it shows their audience they're in tune with the same things they are.
It's subtle but clever.
Totally. And it helps build that relationship. Then when they do promote their big Black Friday sale, people are more likely to pay attention because they already feel like they know the brand.
They've built that trust. Okay, so we've talked about targeting and using pop culture, but what about sponsored stories? Aren't those just ads?
They are, but they're sneaky good because they use something called social proof.
Social proof, what's that?
Basically, it means people are more likely to do something if they see their friends doing it too.
So it's like peer pressure, but in a good way.
Exactly. So let's say someone likes your page. A sponsored story will pop up in their friend's newsfeed saying something like, "Friend's name likes your brand."
So it's like a personal recommendation from a friend. Way more effective than some random ad.
Way more. And that's the power of social proof. You're borrowing the trust that already exists between friends. Pretty cool, right?
Definitely. This has given me a lot to think about. I feel like I'm starting to understand how to actually make Facebook work for my business.
That's great. Remember, it's all about being strategic.
Okay, so we tackled Facebook. Now let's move on to Twitter. It's all about being quick, real time, and jumping into those conversations as they're happening. But how do you actually make that work for your business? It seems like it'd be so easy to just get lost in the noise.
Vaynerchuk calls Twitter a gold mine for businesses because, unlike traditional advertising, it allows you to have a conversation directly with your customer. You can jump into trending topics, answer questions, address concerns, and really just let your brand's personality shine.
So it's not just about pushing out your own message. It's about engaging with what other people are talking about.
Exactly. You have to ride the zeitgeist, as he calls it. You know, be present and in the moment. It's not just about perfectly crafted tweets. It's about being relevant and quick on your feet.
He talks about DJ Monte Carlo using that hashtag, "sometimes you have to," in a tweet about forgiveness, right?
Yeah, it was a simple way to connect his personal brand to something people were already talking about. And he was able to show some personality and humor, too.
So finding ways to connect your brand to what people are already interested in.
Exactly. He also talks about Green Mountain Coffee responding to a fan's tweet about a Michael Franti song. That one little interaction turned into a lifelong customer for them.
Wow. Talk about the power of genuine engagement.
Right. It shows that you don't always have to be explicitly selling something. Sometimes it's just about making those human connections. But with so much happening on Twitter all the time, how do you even find those opportunities?
Yeah, I feel like I just get overwhelmed trying to keep up with everything.
Vaynerchuk has a really interesting approach to using Twitter search. Instead of just searching for your brand name or products, think broader. What are the topics that your target audience cares about? What are they talking about? What are your competitors up to?
So if you're a local bookstore, maybe you search for things like book recommendations, reading challenges, or even cozy cafes.
Exactly. It's all about finding those entry points where you can naturally join the conversation and offer something valuable. And of course, we can't forget about hashtags. They're essential for getting your content seen by the right people.
It seems like every social media platform has its own hashtag culture, right?
Yeah. And Vaynerchuk makes it very clear that hashtags on Twitter need to be used strategically. They should be relevant to your message and add value, not just random popular hashtags thrown in for good measure.
So going back to that cheese shop example, they could jump on a trend like sometimes you have to, with something like sometimes you have to indulge in a delicious slice of aged cheddar.
Perfect. It's playful and memorable, and it connects their product to something people are already talking about. But even with a great hashtag, you still have to grab people's attention quickly.
Because things move so fast on Twitter,
It's
right?
exactly. It's like
Yeah.
you have about 3 seconds to make an impression before people scroll on to the next thing.
So every word counts.
Vaynerchuk talks about that idea of micro content again. Every tweet should be like a tiny story that can stand on its own.
Okay, so how do you do that effectively?
He gives this great example of Chubby's Shorts, this clothing company. Remember their cargo embargo
Oh,
campaign?
yeah, I remember seeing those funny tweets.
They poked fun at cargo shorts while promoting their own brand with clever tweets and visuals. They even created their own hashtag SO skies out, thighs out.
It was so funny. And I actually remember what their brand is, which is rare for me on Twitter.
They absolutely nailed it. They understood the tone of Twitter, they used humor effectively, and they had a strong, consistent voice that resonated with their audience.
It's amazing how much they were able to do with just a few words and a hashtag. So we've talked about Facebook and Twitter. Both are social media giants, but they require completely different approaches.
They really do. With Facebook, you're building a community and nurturing relationships. With Twitter, you're jumping into conversations as they're happening and reacting to the trends of the moment.
Both are valuable, but it's knowing how to play the game on each one. Okay, before we move on to the more visual platforms, can we recap those key takeaways for Facebook and Twitter?
For sure. So with Facebook, remember, you're trying to create content that people will engage with naturally, then using Facebook's targeting to make sure it's reaching the right people. Don't forget about sponsored stories. They're a great way to leverage social proof and reach a wider audience.
And don't forget to actually be social. Be active in the comments, answer questions, and show people that you're actually listening. Now, what about Twitter?
On Twitter, be present, be engaged, be in the moment. Use Twitter search to find conversations that are relevant to your brand and use hashtags strategically to join those conversations and get noticed.
And of course, make sure every tweet is concise, eye-catching, and tells a story in a way that captures attention quickly.
Exactly. And let that brand personality shine. Don't be afraid to be yourself. All right. Now I'm excited to move on to Pinterest, that visual wonderland. I have to admit, it's always felt a little intimidating, like I need to be a professional photographer to even stand a chance.
All right, Pinterest. It's beautiful, it's inspiring, but it can be a little intimidating. I mean, do you need to be a professional photographer to make it on Pinterest?
You know, a lot of people feel that way, but Pinterest isn't really about being perfect. It's more about creating a feeling, like capturing a vibe.
So instead of just showing off your products, you're creating a whole world that people want to be a part of.
Exactly. Remember that phrase Vaynerchuk uses, selling the dream? That's Pinterest in a nutshell. Think of it as creating a mood board for your brand.
He used that great example of Whole Foods repinning a photo of that super organized, luxurious pantry.
Right. It wasn't even their own photo, but it totally captured the feeling that Whole Foods wants to project, you know? Like their products can help you achieve this aspirational lifestyle.
It's aspirational for sure. I could never keep my pantry that organized.
I mean either. But that's the point, right? It's about creating a sense of longing, a desire. It makes people think, if I buy Whole Foods products, maybe my life could be like that too.
So you're saying I don't need to be a professional photographer to succeed on Pinterest?
Nope, not at all. High-quality photos definitely help, but they don't have to be professionally shot. There are tons of resources online where you can find great images, even if you're on a budget.
Okay, that makes me feel better. But how do I know what kind of images will actually work on Pinterest?
First, think about your brand's aesthetic. What kind of colors, textures, and styles represent your brand? Your photos should reflect that.
Got it. So keep it consistent with your brand. What else?
Then, think about the types of images that tend to do well on Pinterest. Bright, airy photos with clean lines and a clear focal point.
Vaynerchuk mentioned that photos with less background clutter tend to perform better.
Yeah, it's almost like those minimalist product shots you see in high-end magazines. It's about drawing the eye to the key elements of your image.
Okay, so good photos are important. Mm-hmm. What about captions? Do people even read those on Pinterest?
They do. Don't underestimate the power of a good caption. Use it to add context, tell a story, or even include a call to action.
I've seen a lot of shop this look captions with links to product pages.
Right. You're bridging the gap between inspiration and action.
Smart. Now, what about Pinterest boards? What's the best strategy for those?
Vaynerchuk has some interesting advice here. He actually suggests creating boards that are only somewhat related to your brand.
Really? So if I'm a tea company, I shouldn't just create boards about different types of tea.
You can definitely have those, but also think about the broader lifestyle your brand represents. Maybe you create a board about cozy reading nooks or beautiful gardens where people might enjoy a cup of tea.
So you're connecting with people who might not be directly searching for your products, but who are interested in the experience your brand represents.
You got it. It's a way to expand your reach and attract people who might not have found you otherwise. And of course, remember to actually be active on Pinterest. Follow other users, repin their content, and participate in conversations.
It's all about being part of the community. Okay, this has been super helpful. I feel a lot less intimidated by Pinterest now.
I'm glad to hear that. Now, are you ready to tackle Instagram?
Oh yeah, Instagram. It's the land of perfectly curated feeds and influencer marketing. It can be a little overwhelming.
It can be, but Vaynerchuk saw the potential of Instagram early on. He really understood that it was all about capturing attention with stunning visuals. Like, every photo has to be Instagram worthy.
He gave that example of Ben and Jerry's using a fan's photo.
Yeah.
But they didn't just take it, did they?
No, that's the key here. They reached out to the fan and asked for permission. And they gave them full credit. It was a genuine interaction, not just a quick grab for content.
It makes them seem more human. You know, like they actually care about their fans.
Exactly. It goes back to that idea of building relationships. He contrasts this with Oakley, who basically just posted a still image from their video. It felt lazy, and it didn't take advantage of Instagram's strengths as a visual platform.
So even though you can't directly link out from Instagram posts, there are still ways to use it to drive action. You talked about the meatball shop.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. They used a mouth-watering photo of a meatball and a clever caption to encourage people to visit their restaurant on National Meatball Day.
Right. I remember that one. It made me hungry.
It was smart. They created a clear call to action even without a clickable link. And of course, they used relevant hashtags to get more visibility.
It feels like hashtags are important on pretty much every social media platform these days.
They are, but remember, each platform has its own hashtag etiquette. On Instagram, it's all about using a mix of general and niche hashtags to reach both a broad audience and people who are specifically interested in what you offer.
So if I'm a bakery, I might use hashtags like hashtag bakery life and hashtag food photography, but also more specific ones like hashtag sourdough bread or hashtag custom cakes.
Perfect. You're getting it. And remember, those hashtags need to actually be relevant to the content you're posting. Don't just stuff your captions with random popular hashtags. It'll backfire.
Got it. Quality over quantity. Okay, now let's talk about Tumblr. It's always felt a little mysterious to me. What makes it so different from the other platforms?
Tumblr is all about visual storytelling, especially through those animated GIFs, you know, those short looping videos.
Yeah, I love those.
Vaynerchuk highlights this comedian, John Glazer, who totally nailed it on Tumblr. He tapped into the Breaking Bad craze by creating these hilarious GIFs that resonated with fans of the show.
So he was using pop culture to build his own brand on the platform.
Smart, right. He understood that Tumblr is a place where creativity and personality thrive, and he contrasts that with Smirnoff's approach. They used this boring, static image and really generic text. They totally missed the point of Tumblr.
It's interesting how a brand like Fresh Air, which is known for its in-depth interviews, was able to find success on Tumblr. They used a GIF from a room with a view to pay tribute to screenwriter Ruth Prawa Kabbalah after she passed away.
Right. It was unexpected, but it worked because it felt true to their brand and resonated with their audience.
It goes to show that any brand, even a traditionally serious one, can find a way to be creative and engaging on Tumblr.
Exactly. The key takeaway here is that you have to understand the culture of each platform and find a way to express your brand within that context. You can't just use a cookie-cutter approach.
Vaynerchuk was pretty excited about platforms like Google Plus and Vine, but those have kind of faded away, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And his predictions about them might not have been spot on, but the bigger point he makes about adapting to change is more important than ever.
So it's not about chasing the newest, shiniest platform. It's about understanding those core principles, right? Building relationships, providing value, and connecting with your audience in a meaningful way.
You got it. The platforms might change, but those principles are timeless.
Vaynerchuk has this great line about how content is king, but context is God, and then there's effort. You can create the most amazing content in the world, but if you're not putting in the effort to understand your audience, tailor your message, and engage with them authentically, it's not going to work.
He's right, and the boxing analogy really drives that point home, you know?
Yeah.
He talks about Buster Douglas, the boxer who trained like a madman and ultimately defeated Mike Tyson, even though everyone thought he was a huge underdog.
I love that example. It's about that dedication, that hustle.
Exactly. You got to be all in, just like Buster Douglas. You have to be willing to put in the work, learn from your mistakes, and constantly adapt as the world changes around you. Think of yourself as the Buster Douglas of your industry, proving the doubters wrong and achieving what others thought was impossible.
This whole deep dive into jab, 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 right hook has been amazing. It showed me that social media isn't just about posting pretty pictures or writing clever captions. It's about building real relationships, offering something valuable, and speaking the language of each platform.
It's a lot more nuanced than people realize.
It definitely is. And like you said, it takes effort. It takes dedication. It's not a magic bullet. It's a commitment.
Owl said.
So to wrap things up, I want to leave our listeners with this thought. Think about your favorite brands on social media. What are they doing that makes you want to connect with them? What can you learn from them? And don't be afraid to experiment. Try new things. Find your voice. And remember, social media is a marathon, not a sprint. You got this.